Yes, it's true. I was transgender for 34 years, and no, I'm not. Guess what? Jesus really does transform people's lives. He cannot help himself. That's just who he is. I had to set a topwatch. Stop. A topwatch? What's this topwatch? Or I'll talk for 2 hours. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Anyway. Yes, Lord, look at that. That's awesome how technology works. I'll get into a little bit about that when I'm sharing with you. But anyway, I'm here today to talk about why God transforms. I have to stand on the stage. Do, do, do. It's always been my fear that I'm going to be walking up somewhere or talking and I'm going to fall down or break my crown or all of that stuff could happen. I don't know. Anyway, why does God transform us? Amen? You're doing the slides, moving the? Yes, right on. Okay. So why God transforms us? I'm going to take you through scripture and show you, I don't want to pontificate more than I need to, but show you that what the scriptures say is the truth, right? Either we believe God or we don't, right? But good morning, by the way. It's really lovely to see all of you. I come with a warning. I'm Italian, and I'm very expressive, and I really love Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. Dun, 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 dun. Why God transforms. So there's three reasons why God transforms us. There we go. Is it up there? Look at that. Boom. God transforms us for three reasons. Well, there's a lot of reasons why God transforms us, but one is that the Father would be glorified, right? That's what Jesus lived for. That's all he did while he was on his earth, on earth was to glorify the Father, right? And that's a mandate. That's a love thing that we get to do with him. Amen? He also transforms us because he came and I'll show you through scripture, to destroy the works of the enemy, right? The enemy is real, and there's ways that God has established his word in us so that we can walk and fulfill our purpose and destiny. And the third reason is to establish his kingdom on earth, right? Let his kingdom come, let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm going to go to the next slide and talk about, I'm going to have all these supporting scriptures, okay? Not just, but several. I'm not going to go into all of them, but so the scriptures we're going to talk about are Romans 12, 1 and 2, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, 31, and Colossians 1, 27. So I'll go through these scriptures one by one and talk about them, amen? And then we'll get into it a little bit more. So Romans 12, 1 and 2, this is all mostly all New King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sistren, that's fine. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Hallelujah. Look at that. God's talking about transformation. But be transformed by the renewing of this thing, your mind, right? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? So we see right there, boom, scripture number one says, we're going to be transformed. Hallelujah, God is so good. And we move into 1 Corinthians 10, 31. He also says, therefore, whether you eat or drink and whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Right? Like I was saying about Jesus, he lived to glorify the Father. Right? Oh, God, help me to just glorify the Father, right? I got my own agenda a lot of the times, and I need to keep my eyes on the Lord. I want to see the Lord glorified, right? Amen. And the last scripture on this is going to be Colossians 1, 27. That says, to them willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are the hope of the glory, right? So when our lives become transformed, God gets the glory. I'm not seeking my own glory. I don't want to be glorified. If there's anything good in me, it's because it's of Jesus, lives and dwells in me, right? But the world would see who Jesus is. It's not like we can make God be more glorious. He's already glorious on his own, right? He doesn't need us to make him more glorified, but we need to help the world to see that he already is glorious, isn't he? I remember going to an art show one time, and we were all looking at this painting, and I'm like, well, that's interesting, and everybody was sitting there trying to figure out, well, what do you think the artist meant by that, you know? And we're all taking our guesses, and then the artist came in, and we asked him, hey, tell us about that painting and what you meant by that, and what were you going through when you painted that? And then he told us, and we're all like, no idea that's what you were conveying, right? You know, so look at how God has created us. I mean, we're a canvas of who he is, of his beauty. And we could, that painting could be misrepresented, you know. I might not know. I could give that painting to somebody and say, well, this is what the painter was saying. But that's not necessarily what he was saying, right? So that's not the truth. So when we know the truth, when we see that painting clearly for what it is, that's the way it is with the Lord. When we see him rightly, I might have my ideas of what I think God is like, but I only know how God is when I'm connected to him, when I'm reading his word, when I'm in worship, when I'm fixed on him. God, tell me who you are. I don't want to tell you who you are. I want to know you personally in my heart, right? And then God gets the glory, because the more you're with him is when your life is transformed. You cannot be in God's presence and not be transformed. Amen? You get in his presence, whether you're worshiping, I don't care. I listen to worship music that's not even conventional worship music. I love listening to piano music, harp music. I don't care what it is. God, I found was in the glory listening to accordion music. God can connect, right? The accordion. I don't love that stuff, but it was beautiful. It really was beautiful. And so connect. Connection is so important. Get connected with the Lord. And there's so many ways I get connected to the Lord when I'm out in nature. I love seeing all his beauty, especially this time of year. God, look at your magnificence. Oh, you created all of this for us. How can you not be glorified? Look at that. I mean, I tell people in the outside when I don't even know them, look at what the Lord did. My father's an artist. He made all this green, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything is changing, beautiful colors. They're being transformed too. God can't help himself. That's who he is. Right? Amen. I better have some water. So we're going to go into our next point, why God transforms us. And that is to destroy the works of the devil, right? I got my water, I thought, beforehand. Ha. Okay, so Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, right? That's what he did. That's who he is. God is who he is, Jesus in the flesh. It's like so amazing to me that God knew that we weren't fit to do it on our own, right? So he said, it's like he took the integrity of his heart out of himself and said, here, I am going to send the integrity of my heart to the earth, and his name is Jesus, right? That's who he is. That's the integrity of his heart. Wow, it's just amazing to me. Anyway, Luke, let's get into some scripture here. Luke 10:19. Look at that, I did it right. Boom. I like how technology works. I'm not good at it. So Luke 10:19, New King James Version says, behold, means look. Look, behold. Oh, I love that word. I give you, Jesus is saying, I give you authority. He gave you what? Authority. Oh, come on. That's good. He gave you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy and what? And nothing by any means shall hurt you. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to get a boo-boo and a scrape and all of that stuff, right? We live in a world and there's things that happen. But look at this. What does that say? He said, I give you authority. He didn't say, I'm going to give you part of my authority. Oh, I'm going to move. Sorry. You better get a chain for me to tie me here. But I've given you all authority. That's what Jesus said. He didn't give us part of himself. When Jesus moved in, he did not withhold anything from us. He moved in with everything of who he is. All of him moved in to all of us. It's like a hand in a glove. When you put on a tight-fitting leather glove and your hand fits in there all snug, that's the way it is with the Lord. He can't. There's no more that can fit of him in him than in us. It's all of him in all of us. Did Jesus destroy the works of the enemy? Did he trample on serpents? Yeah, amen. Come on, this is what he did. It's who he is, and that's what he's given to us. Man, we got to get a hold of this. He didn't move in because we're worthy. He moved into us first because we weren't worthy. My God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While I was a sinner, when I was a dirtbag telling jokes about the cross, when I was having affairs with married women, he still said, Father, that one, do you see that one? I want her. She's mine. Draw her. What? Who does that? Well, we were yet sinners. And he moved in and he redeemed us and he made us worthy. He made us worthy. It's his blood. It's the blood of Jesus that does it. We renew our mind. He renews our soul. It's him. It's all about Jesus. He's so good. I like to say a lot, he can't help himself. It's who he is. It's not like this computer can be anything else but a computer. It only knows how to do what it's created for. God is uncreated, but he can only be God. And God transforms people. God's not a 10-step program that makes me manage my sin life. Right? Oh, if I do this, I'll get better. If I do this, I'll be better. Oh, maybe this and maybe that. You wear yourself out doing that. Or you can believe what God says. Right? God is good. He knows how to lead us. Amen? All right, let's get into another scripture. I like preaching. I love the Word. The Word is so good. All you got to do is talk about it. The Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation. Right? To every man that believeth. Who believes. God, if we would just believe you. Amen. Luke 9:1. And then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over how much?
All.
What? All? What does all mean?
All.
Come on. Then he called his 12 disciples, and we're still his disciples. Now there's a whole bunch of Jesuses running around the earth. It was a bad day for Satan when the Lord of God crucified, because now there's a whole bunch of us running around. Woo, come on. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure disease. All. All. Not some. Man, this word is so good, beloved. It's all him. It's all in us. It's all in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Do you see the words right there? It says all authority has been given to us. What are we going to do with that? Right? You know what my pastor once said? If you have a power cord, an electrical cord, and you're wondering, why isn't my computer working? Why isn't my computer? It's not plugged in. Get plugged in. Plug it into the power source, the Holy Spirit. God knows how to get us. God knows how to do the work. I sometimes go off on a tangent. I'm sorry. Woo, but God is good. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 2, 6 through 7, this is probably the only one that's not New King James, but even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What is that saying, beloved? That's saying we are already in Christ. Jesus was crucified, put into the grave, and he was raised up and is seated at the right hand of the Father. John 17 talks about, Father, before I come to be with you, is leaving the word to the disciples. And he wanted us to know so badly that we are in him. And that he is in us and we are in the Father. If we are in him and we have been buried with Christ in the ground and we've been raised up with him and we are in him and we are abiding in him, then where are we seated? We're seated in heavenly places with the Father, right? That's where we are. That's our operating system. Whew, glory. So, I'm probably, as I said, the worst person when it comes to technology. Am I too loud? I told you I'm loud. It's part of it's because of my hearing. I'm like, I have to be loud. And my family's really loud. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. You know why? Because you're here. You're here. Every one of you is here. You carry all of that presence of the Lord. Amen. It's wafting for me up here to feel all of you. The Spirit of the Lord. But the computer, let me tell you what, I don't like technology. This is the second time I've ever done a presentation on this thing, slide thing. But I don't love technology. I'm not good at it. I had a problem with my computer, and I have a friend of mine that does computer repairs at a computer repair shop, and I called him up. I'm like, Lance, my computer, I can't turn it on. It won't do what it's supposed to do. And he asks me, what's your operating system? Jesus? I don't know. What does that mean, my operating system? I still don't know what it means. But what I do know is when I heard my answer, I went, oh, that's my operating system. That's Ephesians 2, 6, and 7 right there. Jesus is my operating system. God is my operating system. We are already in those heavenly places. Now, what goes on in heaven? Prayer and worship. If we're operating already in Christ, seated with him at the right hand of the Father, that's where we already are. Jesus already took care of everything on the cross. He said, it is finished. There's nothing more for him to do. So if that's our place, what is Jesus doing? They're praying for us. He's declaring the truth. He's declaring the word. And that's what we do. When we know that we are already seated in that heavenly place, we don't have to worry about what's going on earth. We call those things, the Bible says, call those things that are not as though they are, right? You say them. God created the world with his mouth. If he has a mouth, I don't know. They talk about a vibration, but there's something that happened when he said, let there be light, and bam, there was light. When we say the word of God, there's an assignment on the word, right? And when we believe that what we're saying is the truth because we know that the Bible is 100% truth and God is not a man, that he should lie, then when we know that when we speak the word, there's assignment on that word. Something has to happen. It's not like the word's going around going, what am I supposed to do? Oh, Lucas spoke it. I have to go find it. There's an assignment. I pray for somebody and whammo, that word is out looking for that situation or person. I don't know how it works. All I know is that's the way God is. Right? He can't help himself. We are already seated with him in heavenly places. That's our operating system. Know that we're there. If we know we're there, then we can function from a place of already won. Did Jesus already defeat Satan on the cross? Hallelujah. So what do we get to do? We get to enforce the victory. We don't have to worry about winning. Jesus already won. There's no more to do. He already shed his blood. His blood was enough for everything, past, present, future. There's no more. He gave it all, and the wrath of God was satisfied. So according to God, it was enough. The wrath has been paid. There's no more for us to do. All we got to do is relax in it and just enjoy God. Love, let him love you, man. Man, I'd never been so loved in all my life as when I met the Lord. I never had it as a kid growing up. When I met Jesus, it was like my heart was ripped open and flooded with this love that I've never had, and I can't keep my mouth shut about him. Glory, hallelujah. He's so good. He can't help himself. Woo. So where's our operating system? In the... Come on, you're already there. Yes, God, we are already there. Even though our bodies are here, our spirit, right? We are with Jesus, operating with him. Oh, it's so important to understand that we're already there. We're just, our bodies are here, right? I don't know how else to explain that other than we're already seated with him. And that's where we operate from. That's where we pray for people and believe God. God, my son might be living the homosexual lifestyle. My daughter might be stuck in pornography or prostitution. My daughter might be like you were saying about stuck with struggling with porn and masturbation and all of that. But I'm going to tell God, no, this is who my child is. They're going to become who God created them to be. Your grandson. They're going to become who God called them to be. This is who he is. This is who she is, God. And I know that they're going to get there. I don't know when. I don't know how. But all I know, God, is you're going to be glorified in this situation. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to point number 3. The reason why God transformed is to establish his kingdom on earth. Right? On earth. So the truth is we rule and reign with him, seated in the heavenly places. We rule and reign. In Genesis, it talks about that. In Genesis 1 and 2, rule and reign and have dominion over this earth. Establish his kingdom in us through others, right? So he didn't just deliver me because he thought it was a cute thing to do, although it is. He had a plan and a purpose, right? So he liberated me to help others become liberated. Liberated liberators, right? Like Moses. Moses delivered all of those people out of bondage. How many people are in bondage today? When we become whole, healed, and healthy, when we learn how to walk in the ways of the Lord, I mean, it really takes a lot to be delivered. It's not just a boom, well, I curse that in the name of Jesus, get out. Well, right, okay, that's great. Jesus did that, and sometimes it's a process. It took me years to get to this point. I've been walking with the Lord for 12 years now. It took me 3 years of constantly going to church and being sat on by people that I couldn't stop pulling on all the time to help me get there. After 3 years of that, then I was ready to walk out of my life. He liberated me. And now I'm helping others to become liberated through something very intimate called discipleship, right? So anyway, God said that not only are we going to help others to become liberated, right? God doesn't want me to just keep my salvation to myself and that gift that's in me and just keep it to myself, right? The Bible talks about that we are to help others, to find, you know, I can help find people, gifts in other people and pull that out of them, right? But God had a plan and a purpose for us. It says so in Jeremiah 29, I think it is, that I have great plans for you. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. It also talks about prospering and being in good health and being, even as our soul prospers. Man, oh man. I wish, you know, some people are stuck in that place of I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yes, you were. Oh, there I go. You were saved by grace. But now there's something beyond that. There's something beyond the grave. Jesus was resurrected, and so are we. We are no longer called sinners. We're called saints. We are now friends of God. Got to understand that we're not just sinners. God doesn't look at us and say, oh, there's Luke, the little dirtbag. Little sinner, look what she's doing now. God doesn't see me as a sinner anymore. That means I'm even going to take that one further. In 1 John 3 or 5:18, it says that we no longer sin. We might walk in the flesh from time to time, some more than others. But I'm already forgiven. It doesn't mean I have a license to go sin. Holy Spirit lives in me is going to say, no, don't do that. And the more we walk with him, the more there's going to be conviction. Uh-oh, I was unkind. I need to repent to that person. That's what the Spirit does. He can't help himself. It's who he is. He restores, he redeems perfectly all the way when we let him. There's places in my heart that I couldn't let God in. There's still places in my heart where I'm like, I'm scared. What if I get hurt? What if I get abandoned? What if? We all have those little places in our heart where we have that little hesitation of, I want to, Jesus, but I'm scared. What if? What if we just talk to the Lord about those things? Yeah, Lord, I'm scared to be loved. What does it mean? What if they leave me? Terrified. People think I'm brave, and I'm terrified all the time of stuff. I just do it because the Bible says God has not given me a spirit of fear. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be afraid. It means I'm not going to be immobilized by it. Right? I might be terrified, but I'm still going to go. I want God to see. I want the world to see God's glory so bad that I'm willing to go through all of this yuck for more God, for God to get more glory. Man, he's so good. So another reason. Oh, what is that? Something just popped up on my screen. What do you think that is? There it goes away. Okay. So, I'm afraid I'm going to touch something wrong and it... Everything is going to go haywire. I always find those systems and things that... If there's a way that something's not working properly, I automatically find it. It was a great job when I was a metal fabrication inspector because I would always find the one part out of 10,000 pieces that was out of tolerance. Like, nope, now you got to go through 5,000 and find which other ones are wrong. I just have that way about me. I don't know what it is. I just thought it was bad, but now I think it's really good. God had plans for me. Anyway, so another reason why, about establishing his kingdom on the earth was so that we would rule and reign. And have dominion. I talked about that. Have dominion over it. Dominion meant to put into bondage. Oh, we put into bondage the things that are not of the kingdom. With our words, with our actions. It's not just prayer. It's both and. We need to do something. We need to be proactive. Right? We don't allow the things that are not of the kingdom of God to continue to go on. Which is why we are in the trouble we're in. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. God gave us the law. He didn't give the law to the people and the governors and all of those people, right? God cares about government. The word dominion is governmental. Authority is governmental. Ruling and reigning is governmental. It's the government of God's system. We follow the word of God, right? Romans 13, 1 and 2 talks about obey the people that are put in charge of the land. Oh, your governors, your police, your all of those people that are in authority. But he also says if they are walking outside of God's plan, you obey God over man. Now we have abortion. Not going to go there. We have all kinds of things going on in our world because the church has been convinced that we don't get involved in the government. Well, what do you think the government of God is? It's a governmental system, and we were meant to rule and reign. We used to have an influence on the government. The government used to call churches and say, we're going to write a new law. What does the Bible say? When was the last time any pastor had a phone call from the government, or we show up with the government and work hand in hand? Some do, but we need to be an influence in that area. We've lost that influence. And so now we have to back all through all that we lost. Jesus already won it, but we have to take action. There has to be boots to the ground, right? The Israelites rebuilt the temple. They had tools in one hand and prayer in the other hand, right? The shawl, whatever. They didn't just war. They didn't just pray. They rebuilt the temple. It was war and it was the temple, right? It was both and. You don't just pray. You don't just go battle. Right? It's together. Does that make sense? We can do both, beloved. We can be an influence in society again. No, we're not doing that. That right there? No. Gay marriage? No. Abortion? No. And you push on people. I'm sorry, but you push on the people that are not obeying what the word of the Lord says. Now, I'm dead set on that. We don't allow this. We are the ones then that are lawless. Not them. We have the law. And the law was fulfilled in Jesus. So we are the ones practicing lawlessness. We need to repent of that and turn to God. What is your way? How are we going to do this? Be an influence in society. Be an influence in the government, education, media, arts and entertainment, education, all of that. Invade it. This is what the opposition has done. They have invaded every sphere of society because they see us not doing it. But we need to get in there and start being an influence again. The violent take it by force. That doesn't mean that we have to go kick the doors open, but we have to show up. Almost every time, the people that show up are the ones that win. So when we go and know that this is what God's law says, no, we're not doing that. That, we're not. This is what we're doing. It's going to take work, right? But let's establish his kingdom on earth through us, through his people, right? Amen. I'm sorry. It's the truth, though. Man. Sometimes God just wants to do things in us. Or there I go again. God wants always to do things in us. He always wants to be working on us. There's always going to be something. It's not like all of a sudden we got saved and we're pure white and everything's great and hunky-dory. We're never going to have any problems or situations again. Who knows that it gets worse? Good news! You're going to learn how to get stronger. And God knows how to do it by testing us. But he's not testing us because he doesn't love us. If I was I like to use this one. If I was a table manufacturer and I was going to sell a table and I said it holds 5,000 pounds, am I just going to make it and put it out there and hope that it holds 5,000 pounds? No, I'm going to put it through a series of testing, right? I'm going to put 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, maybe even 8,000 pounds on it and find where it's going to crack. Where is it weak? Where is its weak point? That is how God is with us. He puts that weight of his glory on us and he shows us where the yuck is so that he can help us to be transformed, so that he can get that out of us, so we can be stronger, so we can handle more pressure. Because, beloved, when the weight of his glory comes, it's going to be heavy. It's heavy. The Israelites would fall down in the presence of the Lord because the weight of his glory was so strong. They couldn't stand up. God wants us not to be able to withstand it and stand up. We should fall down at the weight of his glory. And also, he wants us to be strong vessels so we're not going to crumble when the world pushes on us. When people push on us and pull on us. Kelly, my sister, she's strong. She disciples me. And I know that I can lean on her. And she knows she can lean on me. We can push on each other. Because we're not going to crumble. Oh, don't push on that. Although sometimes I struggle with it, but we talk it through, right? Anyway, establishing his kingdom. Let's read the scriptures that support this. Wrap this thing up, right? Matthew 28, 19, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Make disciples! He didn't say, "Go ye therefore and make converts." Discipleship. How come the church doesn't know how to disciple? Why do we just go out of church on Sunday and if some one person does all the talking? I'm sorry, but sometimes we're not discipling anybody. Where's the discipleship? Where are we helping each other get connected to the Lord and to us? The cross goes this way and it goes that way. This way to the Lord, this way to each other. Get connected. Help us to grow with each other. Help me. Help you. We help each other to grow in the Lord. Right? We love each other. Sometimes it looks like holding each other's face out of vomit. I don't know. Sometimes it does look like that. I've had to do some ungodly things with people out of love. God's like, "Can you sit with them?" It's vomit. Yeah? I love them. I want you to show them my love. But it made a difference in that person's life. Now, I didn't stick with them and disciple them, but I held their face out of vomit. And for some reason, God took the smell away there or something because it didn't bother me as much. Sometimes we sit with people that are broken. That's what discipleship is like. Sometimes we just listen to each other. Sometimes we just love each other. Can we just love each other even though we're messy? Is it all right for us to be messy? Man, you go to church and people say, "How are you doing?" "Well, my life really sucks today." Oh. How many times will people walk away from you and say that when they say that? Why can't we just say, "I'm sorry to you. Do you want to get together for have a cup of coffee? Can I hold you? Go ahead, snot all over me. Who cares?" Love each other. That's the greatest commandment, love. Amen? Oh, praise God. In Daniel 2:44, it says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand how long?" Right, the kingdom of God is forever. It's not just for a time period. These other systems of the world, let's take authority over them. No, in prayer, warring and showing up and saying, "We're not doing this anymore." One of my favorite scriptures, they call it the Christmas scripture, but I call it the scripture. It's not a Christmas scripture. It's the scriptures. Isaiah 9:7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and forever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Did Jesus say it's finished on the cross? Are we already seated in heavenly places? Then where is the kingdom is in us? The kingdom of God exists where we let God be king to rule and reign over us. He's not lording it over us. You better come clean, dirtbag. He's loving us out of the muck and mire. Come on, baby. You can do it. I'm sending you somebody to help you, to pull you through it. Come on, man. The increase of his government. When I help somebody walk in the way of the Lord, the increase of his government. His government is increasing. When Kelly helped me to find myself, when my pastor did something so small and so significant in my life, it made a difference. And she started to see who I was, and she started to spend every day with me almost. I'd go down to that church and I'd pull on her, and she helped me become who I was created to be. His kingdom was increasing. His kingdom is increasing forever and ever and all eternity. He can't help himself. Let's become like Jesus. We become like Jesus when we give him our heart. All of us, yes, there's a place I'm scared to let you in, but I'm doing it scared anyway. Because I know God's good. He showed himself to me to be good. He's not a man that he can lie. And if this is what his word says, I'm doing it. I don't care what it looks like, how scary it is. I'm not going to look down. I'm looking that way. My eyes are fixed on the Lord. And no matter what, I'm going to see the Lord glorified in my life and through my life. I'm going to be a living testimony. I loved my life, not even unto death. It's him. He's all that matters. God, man, he's so good. He can't help himself. Jesus deserves a bride. If women can be called he and men, right? Men can have that accept the fact that you're called the bride, and it's a beautiful thing. You're the bride. Jesus deserves that. It was the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. He deserves the reward for his suffering, and that's us. Let us live to glorify the Lord. Nothing else matters. This world is supposed to fall apart, but we're still going to rule and reign and have dominion and establish the victory. I'm going to leave you with one thing, because that's it. In Hosea 14:6, beautiful scripture, it says, his branches shall spread, his beauty shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Beloved, I'm going to read you this beautiful thing that someone has sent me on from Oswald Chambers. It says, Jose surely knew something of the scent of conifers. From Lebanon, he paints us a picture of what the Christian life should be and its effect on others. The impression of Christ it gives should penetrate everywhere like a pine fragrance. A man's sense of smell is the most delicate of his senses. It's true. Through it, he receives impressions of what is beyond reach of touch and even out of sight altogether. Nor need anything be said, for where there is fragrance, the effect is everywhere, pervading all. You cannot hide it. And so does one whose roots are in Christ, shed forth like the cedar, a sweet savor of him who is unseen source of life. We carry with us the unassuming beauty of Holy Spirit as figured in the olive. And the effect is to make people aware only of a fragrant influence of Christ. He cannot be hid. Let's be a fragrance of the Lord. I want to go home and be with the Lord. Let's wrap this thing up, you guys. Are we sold out? Let's find those places where the Lord, where we haven't given him yet. Amen. Let's connect with each other. And if you need prayer, if you need help, we have a great ministry at Agape First called Emmanuel Prayer. People will walk through life with you and pray with you. It really makes a difference. Amen. So thank you very much, and God bless.